He's got a beautiful backswing.
Dad, oh, he got all of that one.
Oh my gosh.
That is amazing.
Layup with an iron into the hazard.
Oh my God, you had to deal with the golf course people too!
Well, that wasn't quite what I meant, you know?
What's up, everybody? Welcome into another edition of the 73rd Hole. Colby Powell, Taylor Williams with you, recapping a little Daniel Berger action at Colonial this past weekend. Great to have golf back. Find us on social media at the 73rd Hole. Search 73rd Hole on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can find us on all of those platforms, and we would love for you to check it out. Follow us, rate, and subscribe this podcast wherever you are listening. We would greatly, greatly appreciate it, and it was great, great, great to have golf back. Taylor, I've got one question I want to get to right off the jump. I just want to get this knocked out of the way early. Was the cup on 17 regulation size? Who cut that hole?
And maybe 18 as well. I mean, it seemed like Daniel Cheeseburger was the only one who could make a putt on that hole.
Yeah, he was. Who all left it short on 18 with a chance to get in the playoff? Rose?
Rose, it died off at the end. Schauffele left it short, but he was going over the hill. DeChambeau lipped out. Kokrak lipped out.
Yeah, Kokrak made a charge this weekend. He played some great golf.
Yeah, he kind of got in before everyone else did. That's kind of why he fell a little bit under the radar, but he was able to go in and post. If he could have posted it 15 instead of 14, it might have changed how some other players came down the stretch.
Definitely. Yeah, this weekend he was 65-64 on Saturday, Sunday.
It's not a bad weekend.
Pretty decent.
Yeah, earned him pretty decent. Nice check for that T3 finish. But yeah, you saw, I mean, a lot of guys there. Morikawa had the, what was it, 6 footer or whatever. He had that awesome shot out of the trees to get up there too, six feet.
And his shot was, and his putt was straight uphill. Like all these other guys were coming downhill or across. Morikawa was coming straight uphill. So his tee shot, he gets the lucky break, hits the tree on the tee shot, kicks it just in the left edge of the fairway. Thought he might have tree trouble. Didn't look like he did. Dottie said he didn't. But yeah, just hit a terrible putt there. And another one in the playoff.
5 feet, 9 inches is how far the putt was that he missed.
Yeah, so. And another one in the playoff he missed. I don't know what the putt in the playoff was. Probably 3.5, 4 feet maybe. But the camera angle on the putt in the playoff was great because it showed you that he just flat out pushed it. I mean, he did not get it started because he lines up with the line on his ball, and he did not get it started where he wanted to, missed it on the right edge. And, you know, for a guy who hits his irons so well, I think coming into the week, he was like in the 170s in strokes gained putting on tour. I think he was better than that this week. He made the bomb yesterday at 14, which makes your strokes gained go way up, obviously. But, yeah, Morikawa's putter let him down on 18 and in the playoff, or he would have been a winner yesterday. But, I mean, Daniel Berger took advantage, 65, 67, 67, 66, for Daniel Berger. And Taylor, I think it was a case that we came into the week and the field was so loaded that a guy like Daniel Berger just totally flew under the radar. And then yesterday, he just swooped in and kind of stole the tournament with some nice putts on the back nine and a good par there in extras.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, and he had been playing really good golf up until the break. You know, we had mentioned, you know, kind of how what would be the best way to handicap, you know, this tournament, you know, and to kind of worry about how everyone was doing off the course, you know, during this 3 months of preparation. And I'm trying to pull up right now what his finishes were before everything cut out because, I mean, he was playing really good.
I know the streak of rounds under par. You know how many rounds in a row under par he shot?
Was it 6, 20, 30 something?
28.
28, that's
28
what it is.
28 now consecutive rounds under par. That is 7 consecutive full tournaments where every round is under par. That is incredibly difficult to do on the PGA Tour.
And, you know, we look at it, you know, he finished, before this, he finished 4th at the Honda, 5th at Pebble Beach, 9th at the Waste Management, so he had 3 straight top 10s before this event. Just, we kind of seemed to forget about it because it was back in March and February.
Right.
So, you know, so.
Well, not only that, we had Rory we were talking about, Rose and Spieth and Big Bryson.
Yeah.
Oh, Big Bryson. Oh, hit ball far.
Yeah. Eat Brian Harman. Bryson.
Eat Brian Harman. Hit ball far. Yeah. It was, so let's talk about Bryson. So, I think I might have come full circle on Bryson because when he came out, I kind of thought that he was a little bit of a douchebag. I'm like, I don't really know if I like watching this guy, the scientists. I don't think a protractor is necessary for a round of golf. I haven't used a protractor since I was in middle school. And yet Bryson's out here trying to do science to read putts. Oh, it's a 2.5% slope. How's this putt not go in? But I think I've come full circle to where he might be one of the most fun guys to watch on tour because he is swinging so damn hard on the tee box. You never know if a blood vessel's going to pop out of the side of his head. You don't know if he's going to fall over, if the sheer force of the ball speed is going to, you know, knock the Ben Hogan hat right off of his head. I've come full circle on Bryson now to where he's the one guy I'm like, show every shot, every single shot of Big Bryson.
And, you, and it's just so entertaining because, you know, reading up on it, you know, they said he's gone up 2 shirt sizes. He used to wear a medium, now he wears an XL. So, I mean, you know,
have you seen the pictures they post of him next to his scorecard and stuff?
Oh, of course, yeah. No,
it looks like a mini-me version of Bryson.
It is, yeah. It is. And it's one of those things to where, you know, if you saw this in any other sport that's not known as, you know, a physically active sport, you would think, man, what's that dude injecting in his body? You know, that kind of thing. Right. But, you know, you see what is a workout routine during the quarantine was, I believe it was something along the lines of like 3 times a day.
One is meal plan. You seen the protein shakes?
He said
he's putting down 5 or 6 protein shakes a day. And I don't know. I'm assuming surely he's not only having protein shakes. Surely he's having some meals.
If he's exercising as much as he is, he has to put that much on, you know. If his body's not burning that protein, it's just going to get rid of it anyway. But he was exercising that much. I mean, obviously, you've seen he's 235, 240 pounds, and he was 100 and, 180 or whatever it was before then. So, I mean,
is this at all sustainable, though? Like, is it sustainable to drink 6 protein shakes a day for the next, I don't know, how long is he wanting to do this? 5 years? 10 years? How long is he wanting to be this big?
Well, see, I guess that is the question there is, you know, what, because, you know, he's increased at such a rapid rate, now all of a sudden it has to plateau at some point, you know, because he can't keep up this rate, it'll be 330 pounds, you know, so it has to, right. You know, it has to slow down at some point.
So do we go to 3 protein shakes a day just to try to maintain the weight?
I think with golf coming back, he's not going to have the opportunity to work out as much as he
was. True.
You know, because I think he said he didn't even hardly play a full 18 holes before this event.
He said his post-round quarantine yesterday, he did not play 18 holes in quarantine prior to the tournament.
Because he was too busy in the gym.
And finished one back.
Yeah, and that's when, you know, we'll preview a little bit at the end of this show and our show later on in the week coming out on Wednesday. We'll preview the RBC Heritage, and I think he'll be my favorite going into that. He's played so well there over the last few years, and with how he's playing now, finished one back, hadn't played 18 holes, out there just hitting bombs. Find it interesting that one thing reading up on is with all this new club head speed, he's putting a lot more spin on it. So he's actually playing a 5.5-degree driver.
I saw that. 5.5 degrees.
5.5-degree driver.
I can't imagine what my launch angle would be if I played a 5.5-degree driver.
It would be good for into the wind if you didn't have to carry anything.
Exactly.
And you're playing
a rock hard golf course.
Exactly. Yeah, it would be awesome. And then they said he's looking at adding a 10-degree 3-wood. Into the bag as well. So, I mean, and he had to de-loft all of his irons because he was putting a lot more spin on them. So, I think
he de-lofted them, but he kept them all the same length.
Correct. Oh, no, he ain't changing the length of those irons.
Are his wedges that length too?
The wedges are, yes.
His 60-degree wedge is the length of a 7-iron.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And his woods aren't that length, but his irons are, all of his irons and short clubs okay. are the same.
And then his 3-wood's longer and his driver's
yeah,
longer.
Yeah, and you'll hear a lot of complaints about that. That's one of the reasons they say that they think his short game's not as good as it could be because he's not able to get low and get the versatileness of the shots, you know, because he's having to stand so tall on those shots. But they said it seems like right now he's doing everything right. It's just whenever you get that big that fast, you know, it's like, you know, will the body hold up? Is it going to deteriorate? You know, has he put so much strain on his body with all this working out over the last few months? You know, are we going to see a David Duval or a Tiger-esque injury, even Jason Day going through his back injuries? You know, are we going to see him in a few years have to take off how many ever weeks? You know, I believe, I may be wrong, but I think he had some sort of injury a few years ago, maybe a wrist injury or something like that, where he had to miss some time as well. So I just hope that
I was just going to say, too, you put on all the weight. You're talking about, you know, back injuries and stuff. What about his joints? What about his knees?
I mean, that's what it's all about, yeah.
These guys go out, they walk a practice round on Tuesday and on Wednesday. They either walk a practice round or they've got the pro-am. They walk 72 holes Thursday through Sunday in hot conditions, hilly conditions. We've all walked golf courses. It's no walk in the park. So you're taking your joints that have been used to carrying 180 or 190 pounds forever, and now you're putting 240, 250 pounds on them and asking them to fulfill all the same requirements. I just don't, man, I don't know if that's sustainable.
It's
fun to watch in the meantime, but
yeah, it'll be interesting to see how long he's able to keep it up and where he goes from here. You know, we've seen early in his career, you know, you mentioned the scientist part where he was trying to do like the side saddle putting, and he was essentially the worst putter on tour, you know, when he was trying all this. And then he missed like 12 straight cuts or something ridiculous like that. So, you know, he can experiment, but sometimes the experiment can go a little too far. And so I wonder on this instance, you know, is he going to try to keep searching for more? He mentioned yesterday in his pre-round interview that he felt like his ball striking was good and he just felt like if he would have made some more putts, he would have ran away with it. So I don't know if maybe now he'll realize that his ball striking is about where it needs to be, because, I mean, of all the coverage, I saw him hit the lowest ball speed with a driver I saw was like 182. You know? So, I mean, 185, 186, up in that range. I mean, it's...
I saw 189 off of the tee box.
And if you're wanting to... If you're getting much higher than that, you're getting into, you know, long drive competition stuff, and then, you know, you're worried about...
For point of reference, Gary Woodland was firing off about 176, probably?
I think that's
about what I was seeing. 178, maybe?
Probably somewhere around there. He's a big hitter. Maybe a little further if he gets a hold of one, but generally average. Yeah, and that's kind of the point. You see a lot of... You know, a lot of guys like that are on the Corn Ferry Tour or forming nationwide. You know, their distance will kind of dial back because they'll want to try to hit more fairways. And if Bryson keeps going down this road where he's just distance, well, eventually, you know, ball's going to have so much speed on that it's going to be hard to hold some of the fairways. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, does he?
It's a good point. Colonial's a softer golf course.
And also, there's a lot of dog legs out there, which mm-hmm. he was able to take big advantage of. And he actually mentioned that where he was able to eliminate a lot of bunkers because he could carry them, and it honestly almost changed the golf course for him in a sense because he had so many flip wedges in. And
I mean, how many times was he hitting approach shot from 92 yards, 88 yards?
When other guys are hitting 160 or 170-yard shot, you know.
It's a big difference.
Yeah, it's a huge difference.
The only time it didn't matter was on 17 on Sunday whenever, man, in his poster, he said that he just caught a flyer, but he was also way left. Yeah. I mean,
that's 17's a hole where no one hits more than like a 4-iron off of it.
They were saying in the playoff it was 5 irons off the tee.
Yeah, and that we go back to Morikawa. He missed that short putt, but he also hit his iron into the right trees, yes. You know, and had to punch out.
And he's actually pretty fortunate in the tee shot that he had as clean of a look for the punch as he did.
And he hit an awesome third shot, too. His pitch shot was really good. Yeah, hit it up to 5 feet, you know. So we look back on it and we say, well, Morikawa missed that short putt. But, you know, it all kind of started with the tee shot because he missed it down there. And we can go a little bit more into that. But going back to Bryson, I just think that, you know, like you said, he caught the flyer, but you don't catch flyers if you're in the fairway. So, you know, hit the fairway. And so I think that it'll be interesting to see for him, you know, how much does the experimentation continue? You know, is he going to keep trying to get bigger, trying to find the distance, and also, not only is he hitting it further, he's hitting it straighter, which is, you know, it's a hard combination to beat when that's going on. It's just a matter of, you know, what... You know, kind of like just all science. You know, you'll never find all the answers. You know, so you're always searching for them. And so it's a matter of will he come to acceptance with what he has and trying to get better. You know, for example, like we mentioned Tiger. You know, he had the best swing ever in 2000, and he had what? He's had 3 different swings since then.
Yeah.
You know, Haney, Foley, what he has now, and then somewhere in between there. You know, with all that. You know, so I mean, everyone's always tinkering. So it'd be just a matter of, you know, how far to an extent he takes it. Because I mean, he's won a U.S. amateur and he won the NCAA, so he's been a great player for however long. Yeah.
Won back-to-back playoff events 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. So.
One thing I love too. You mentioned his post-round interview. He said, "Man, if I could have made a few putts, I would have ran away with it." I just think he's playing with such confidence right now. I feel like he truly believes in his new strategy, what he's done, bulking up, hitting it so far, he's hitting it straight. And I think he truly believes right now that he's the best player on the planet. And that confidence that he's playing with, I think in the meantime, ride the wave of Bryson. I say for those of you in one and done pools, I don't know that I'd really save him too much longer. Maybe get to the next big purse event and run him out if you want to save him for a big purse. DraftKings.
Memorial's coming up where he won a couple.
Yeah, Memorial's coming up. Yeah, use him on DraftKings. I think he's 10,700 this week maybe at DraftKings. If you're looking for one of the guys at the top, I like him because confidence is just something that you can't – it's not something you can get in the weight room. It's in between the ears. And we saw it yesterday, Rory.
We can't teach confidence. You can't give it to someone. You can't sell it. You know, there's no speed, exactly.
I mean, look at the confidence difference between Spieth and Bryson right now. And tell me who you want on Sunday.
Look at it on Sunday. I mean, Spieth was T2 just like a lot of other people were, and he hit it out of bounds on the, I believe it was 14 or 15.
14, I think.
So
he had just made a bomb. He made like 3 birdies in the first 4 holes on the back 9 to get within 2, and then he immediately sprays one out of bounds.
Yeah, so, I mean, and that's all you need is one loose swing. It's going to cost you the tournament. I mean, like we just saw it, we had how many guys finish up at 14 under. You know, they missed the playoff by one shot, and, you know, they played 4 rounds of golf, you know. So, I mean, one stroke in between there, all of a sudden you have a chance to win. Just shows how minute this game is, and like we talk about our analytics and stuff, that's why we harp on it so much is because of stuff like this.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. And, you know, if you want to have the confidence that Bryson has, has in your roof, you need to call McRae Roofing. McRae Roofing is the absolute best. They have bulked up. You want to go with Big McRae Roofing. You talk about hitting it a mile. They hit it a mile with their roofs. Their commitment to craft is what defines McRae Roofing and exteriors. McRae Roofing is a locally owned and operated roofing service company that is passionate about the quality of their roof creations. Jeff McRae, the owner of McRae Roofing and a friend of the show here on the 73rd Hole, views your roof like a canvas. His team's sole purpose is to create you a masterpiece of a roof, which brings out the beauty of your home and its surroundings, a beauty that will last for years to come. Call McRae Roofing today at 405-692-4000 or visit them online at McRaeRoofing.com. Let's get down the Spieth rabbit hole a little bit more, because I tell you what, if you've ever, and I haven't, but for anyone who's ever done hard drugs, I imagine hard drugs is what it's like to watch Jordan Spieth play golf. It is a missed 1 foot 11 inch putt, followed up by a canned 50 footer right in the middle, followed up by a push shank block out of bounds into an apartment complex. It is everything under the sun. And the problem I think Jordan is struggling with right now is that it's not one problem he needs to identify and fix. It's like on the first hole, he's in front of the green in two, and then he chunks a chip and ends up having to get up and down from in front of the green for par. And then the tee shot out of bounds, the missed 1 foot 11 inch putt, the few missed putts inside 3 feet he had on the week. It's not one thing that Jordan Spieth's doing wrong. He's making major errors in multiple facets of the game. The chunk chip, the missed short putts, the out of bounds ball. I mean, that's just about every facet of your game where he's making huge detrimental mistakes that, I mean, whenever they all add up, they cost you a golf tournament.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you saw, like we saw on the 14th hole, I'm looking at it now, it ranked as the, it was the third easiest hole of the tournament.
It was like whenever, 385 par four?
It was, reading as 450, but it was probably downwind and it's fairly straight.
Okay,
but,
maybe I'm thinking of a different hole.
But nevertheless, so, I mean, he ruined a bad hole there. He birdied birdied 10, 12, and 13 coming in. Hit a really good shot in there at 13. That iron was really good. But I think you just see it, you know, when you don't fully trust your game, you don't have that confidence, like you were mentioning, Colby, you know, whenever the heat of the moment's on, you know, that's when you start seeing it. It's kind of like when we had Steve Ball on the podcast, you know, talking about the different levels of the game, you know, and for these guys, you know, the level is, you know, getting to where, you know, like for Spieth, he's not finishing 50th, you know, now he's building back up and he got himself into contention and he was able to even get himself, he got himself kind of out of contention early yesterday's round. I mean, he shot, what, two over on the front nine, so he was kind of already he felt like he was already out of it, but he was able to make some birdies, get back into it a little bit, and then obviously I had mentioned earlier that he was my one-and-done pick this week, so you knew he had to fall apart at some point, and next thing I know, I'm watching it on the computer, and I see on 14, he hits it right, and then it looks like, I'm like, okay, did he punch back out in the fairway, or is this one of the times that the shot tracer messed up, and then you see the coverage, and he's hitting this fourth from the middle of the fairway because he hit it out of bounds, and then you know, knowing like Spieth, he drained what was the official length of this putt? 33-footer for bogey. So not a bad way to recover, I guess, but end up bogeying 17 coming down, another one of the not one of the harder holes on the course. So I think just coming down, he don't trust it as much, and I think it'll take more repetition for Spieth to be in the moment and to feel those pressure situations and to learn from those. And not to mention, you know, we had mentioned before, you know, when we were handicapping this tournament, you know, he'd had a lot of confidence here and played well here before. So whenever he goes on to another course where he doesn't have as much familiarity or success, it'll be interesting to see if he can keep going in this direction, or are we going to go back to
where, great point.
You know, where he goes back to finishing 50th, because like we mentioned, even last year, his worst year, he still finished 8th here. You know?
And how many bombs did he make this week? I mean, dude made some bombs. Even yesterday, around where he clearly did not have his best stuff. What did he shoot yesterday? 71, maybe? He shot 71.
He shot 68, yes, 71. Yes, 71 yesterday, yes.
Okay, 71 yesterday. Same thing Justin Thomas shot. Spieth, that's a good point, because Colonial is seemingly where he's most comfortable, right? Colonial, Pebble, Augusta, these are places Jordan Spieth is notoriously comfortable. You know, at RBC Heritage, where he's not comfortable, all of a sudden maybe you don't make the bombs, and instead of having a chance on the weekend and being close, now maybe you're fighting to make the cut, and like you said, you finished T50. He'd had a lot of finishes outside the top 25-30 coming in over the last 18 months or so, and people got really excited on Thursday and Friday about the possibility of Spieth winning a PGA Tour event for the first time in a long time. One of my buddies texted me. He's like, man, I thought about having you put some money on Spieth for me on Wednesday. Should have had you pull the trigger. That was like Friday afternoon. I'm like, dude, it's Friday afternoon. And I straight up told him on the text. I said, you saved your money. He's not going to win the tournament. He's like, oh, he's on fire. He loves this place. Yes, he's on fire. He loves this place. He's not going to win the tournament. there's steps to it. There's steps. It's like, for example, Harold Varner. What is Harold Varner great at? Golf on Thursday and Friday. He's just great at golf on Thursday and Friday. He's unbelievable. He's not a very good weekend golfer. His career right now, he's in the step. He's in the phase of his career where he's having to learn through failure how to succeed. That's what Harold Varner's doing right now. I think Spieth's having to kind of relearn some of that stuff too and have to learn, okay, on Sunday on the first hole, I've got to get more consistent with my chipping to where I don't flub one and cost myself a shot. Cost himself a shot at the first hole because he just flubbed a chip. It's just stuff that you don't see other guys doing. Stuff that Daniel Berger didn't do yesterday, and he ended up winning the golf tournament. So, look, Spieth, he seems like he's too good not to make his way back, but his game is still just so erratic right now. I would not come away from this week thinking, okay, Spieth's win is coming. Like, that's not what I come away from this week thinking.
No, I don't. You're not seeing the form of when he was winning major championships by any stretch.
No, not
seeing that. No, I mean, the only thing you're seeing any resemblance of is the occasional long putt, you know, that he's making. And, you know, he's notorious for that. Last year, he led the tour in putts, what was it, longer than 25 feet or something like that. So, you know, that's kind of what he's known for. So he keeps that going, which is able to help him salvage some of these rounds. But yeah, he seemed like he was all over the place, you know, still doesn't have the exact confidence he needs. He's getting there. It's just a matter of, you know, when will he get back to that level that he was, but to where he was number one player in the world, or will he kind of plateau off and maybe just be, you know, get back to be a top 10 player? Will he just kind of be a horses for courses type guy for the rest of his career? I don't think that's the case. He's still a young guy. I think he's going to get it figured out somewhat. I mean, he finished third in the PGA Championship last year on a horrible year, so he'll even if he doesn't, even on his off weeks, he can get it around slightly a little bit and still make a good decent check. So he's going to be out here for a while. I just don't know if we're going to see him be that, as he has three major championships now. I'm not sure if we'll see him be that guy to you know, get up there in the 7 or 8 type category, you know, like some of the other, you know, the legends of the game.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you there. This is Taylor Williams. I'm Colby Powell. This is the 73rd hole. Glad everyone is with us. Want to remind everyone to get down to Bushwood and get yourself signed up for the Ouachita Valley coming up over July 4th weekend. It's the 3rd, 4th, and 5th 3-day 54-hole individual match play tournament. It is flighted. So if you're a guy who goes out and shoots 85, no worries. Get yourself in the field. There is a short waiting list for some of the later flights, so make sure you call, reserve your spot today, because it's going to be a packed tournament, over 15,000 in prizes this year. It's going to be an absolute blast at the Ouachita Valley. When I tell you, regardless of how you play, you're going to have fun, I mean, regardless of how you play, you're going to have fun. So get yourself signed up for the Ouachita Valley coming up at Bushwood Golf and Country Club in Chickasha here in just a few short weeks now. How far off from July 4th are we? Yeah, 2.5 weeks?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, today is June 15th. So, yeah, 2 weeks, pretty much, essentially. Yeah,
awesome.
2.5 weeks.
Yeah. I can't wait. I'm geeked.
It's going to be great. Yeah, still got a little bit of my game to work on, but we'll get that figured out, hopefully, before then.
Not me. Every facet of my game is perfect. I cannot possibly improve any further. I've defeated golf.
Well, then you have to not play for the next 2 weeks so you can keep it there so you don't lose it.
Exactly. Exactly. That's not true at all, by the way. Golf is never beaten. Even if you play a good round, golf is never beaten. I have a question. Do you want to dive into the Rory McIlroy debacle now, or do you want to take a break and then come back and let it breathe and then talk about Rory?
Yeah, we'll take a small break and then we'll come back.
Yeah, we'll let it breathe.
Yeah,
we'll let it breathe.
Because he was my pick to win this week, and Sunday he did what he was doing before the break, essentially just to a higher extent.
Yeah, we're going to need adequate time to discuss this because we've got a lot of shots to talk about with Rory McIlroy and his Sunday round yesterday. So we'll talk about all that much, much more as we continue to recap golf's return to the big stage. Everything went great in week one. Great event, great finish in the playoff. We will talk about the not-so-great finish of Rory McIlroy. Coming up next, stay with us here on the 73rd hole.
When something the size of a golf ball hits your roof, you need to call McRae Roofing. McRae Roofing is Oklahoma's designer roofing service specialist. For years, Jeff McRae and the experienced team at McRae Roofing and Exteriors have served fellow Oklahomans by helping them with their roofing needs. McRae Roofing uses only top quality materials and professional crews to make sure that each job is done right, so it will give you the years of service, security, and protection you need from the unpredictable Oklahoma weather. McRae Roofing offers residential and commercial roofing, ventilation services, and custom copper designs. McRae Roofing is dedicated to exceeding the homeowner's expectations. It's not just a roof, It is your home's crowning glory. Call McRae Roofing today at 405-692-4000. That's 405-692-4000. Make sure to also visit their website at mcraeroofing.com. That's M-C-R-A-Y roofing.com. Don't get caught with a leaking roof. Contact McRae Roofing for your free inspection today.
Welcome back to the 73rd hole. Colby Powell, Taylor Williams, glad to be with you, recapping a little bit of actual golf. There was a lot of actual golf played this weekend, none of which was played by Rory McIlroy on the front nine on Sunday. A front nine 41, par 35 for Rory McIlroy, the number one player in the world, who had a chance, if he fired a low one, to win the golf tournament yesterday, certainly had a chance to extend his streak of top fives. He had seven consecutive top five finishes coming into this week. Had a chance. I mean, all he had to do was play decent on Sunday. Probably would have been able to get himself another one if he could have gotten it to 14. And instead, he goes the exact opposite direction. Plays some of the worst golf he's played in a very long time. 41, Taylor? 41? After, number one player in the world?
And that's what we talked about on our first round recap show last week. You know, he was one of those guys at two under, and we were thinking, you know, what will he be able to do from here going forward? And then next round, Friday, shoots 63. He's right up there at the top. So, you know, he was right where we thought he was going to be. And
it's
then,
like, oh, here comes Rory.
Yeah, there he is. And then shot 69 on Saturday. So he's still right around, still hanging in it. And then goes a nice little 74. Had to birdie, what was it, two of the last three holes or something like that.
And he held a bunker shot for one of those birdies. So one of those birdies was still, and the bunker shot that he held was a par three that he probably had an 8 or 9 iron in off the tee box and airmailed it 50 feet right of the pin into the bunker and had to hold it for birdie.
Yeah, that was a 16. That was that hole that Schauffele made the long putt and Gary Woodland hit it up to about, you know, 3 inches or something like that. So yeah, Rory had a birdie two of the last three holes. Had to make, what did he make on the last hole here? Made about a 12 footer on the last hole. So birdie two of the last three to even get it in at minus six. So had he not birdied those holes, he would have finished minus four, which would have been T43. So you know, for where he was after those first after that 63 on Friday, he would have been highly disappointed, especially for him being my pick to win this week, you know. So yes. He don't know if it's one of those things, you know, what did he lose his swing, was he just mentally over it, did he just, you know, get
I've got all three of our picks to win last week, by the way, me, you, and Craig. I've got them all three.
Let's see, I know one was my Rory. Yours was Reed, who ended up finishing pretty well.
He was T7 in the group two back at 13 under, birdied three of his last four. I actually got a little bit annoyed, so I put $20 on him last Wednesday at 28-1, and you know, fires the 63 on Saturday. I'm thinking, guy's got a chance. He's got to just need a good round on Sunday. He opens his round with 14 straight pars. Oh, and they weren't showing him on the broadcast. I kept having to check his scorecard. I'm like, what are you doing, mate? And then he birdies three of the last four, and I'm like, too little, too late, Patrick.
Gosh.
Get your ass in gear and make some birdies before the tournament's over, jackass.
And this is the only time you're going to be rooting for Patrick, right?
God. I was so pissed. I might bet him again this week because there's still not any fans out there. And then Craig picked John Rahm to win.
And then, well, we can go down. I mean, just listen to these list of players who missed the cut. I mean,
now let's talk about the disappointments.
I mean,
the week.
This is pretty crazy. All right, so Kuchar, Sergio, Graham McDowell, Kevin Na, Max Homa, who was playing really good before the break. Cary English was playing really good. One of the guys I like, Bazunhut. Tom Lehman fired that nice 5 under, and then fired a nice quick little 74 right after that to miss the cut.
DJ,
DJ, John Rahm, who was Craig's pick. Your close personal friend Matt Wallace missed.
Oh yeah,
the cut.
Good friend Matt Wallace.
And let's see here. Mark Leishman missed the cut. He was a popular pick by a lot of people.
Ricky and Jason Day.
Ricky,
both,
Jason Day. Webb Simpson, who was fourth best odds to win this week.
Almost everybody had Webb. I was looking at DraftKings lineups in the pool I was in this week. A ton of people rostered Webb Simpson. Idiots, myself included. Let's see. On our picks that we did last week, me and Craig each gave three. We each had Webb Simpson at number two. Idiots, myself included. But it made sense. I mean, it seemed like the course set up, especially for Webb. You know, some of these other guys, like DJ, I was never buying in on DJ this week. But it seemed like this course set up for Webb. So for him to just come out and not play good golf and not really have a chance even to make the cut was a little surprising, I thought. That's the one I think that surprised me the most.
Yeah, no, Webb came out and he just laid an egg. Yeah, it was what did he make? No birdies on the first round and three bogeys. So yeah, I mean, that's about as boring as it gets. And you know, some other names that we mentioned, like we all kind of liked Ryan Palmer. He shot plus four.
That was my pick in our one and done pool last week.
Man, what makes it so hard to handicap. And then we mentioned still shafted driver in three with Jimmy Walker fired 76 on Friday to finish plus six and miss the cut. And then two of the other picks I liked that were deep down, Kevin Tway and Bo Hostler, both finished by 19 over. So those would not have been very ideal DraftKings picks. So hopefully,
if Bo Hostler could have shaved 12 shots, he'd have made the cut.
He would have been there. He would have been there.
I mean, a minor tweak in his game
A minor tweak in his driver, his irons, his putting, his chipping, and then change minor to major, and then he would exactly. almost
if
made
he
the
can
cut.
Just if he can get a couple putts to fall, maybe hit a few more fairways, needs to hit his irons better, probably needs to be better at scrambling. If he can do all those things better, he can potentially make the cut.
He almost had it. He was almost there, but yeah. So I mean, it was we just see all those names there, you know. It was just such a hard, you know, first tournament back, no fans, you know, people handle it differently. People had different offseasons. People are traveling from different places. So it'll be interesting. But from what, generally from what the leaderboard looked like, you know, you see, I mean, the names up there, like we listed off, you know, I mean, Morikawa, we had mentioned that Mr. Cutberger was playing so well. Kokrat was playing pretty well going into this. Then the bigger names, you know, DeChambeau, Rose, these guys.
Rose actually wasn't playing very well before the break. And then he comes out and it's like, this is Justin Rose again. This is the guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what. So we have someone like Webb Simpson who's playing phenomenally, misses the cut, and then we have someone like Rose who is playing horribly.
That's why this tournament was so hard to handicap.
Yeah.
You know what we haven't even talked about yet is the horrible horseshoe. And of course, when I say the horrible horseshoe, I'm referring to the lip out that Xander Schauffele suffered on the 71st hole the golf tournament.
I mean, if you believe in any type of golf gods, I guess that would be the remedy, because leading up to that, he had hooked it into the water from a fairway bunker on 15, flubbed a chip. And
literally a chip on an upslope with green to work with, easy shot, and he left it 50 feet short and then made it for bogey. It was a BS bogey.
Yeah, 50 feet stretch. It was 31 feet 4 inches, but 50 feet sounds.
Oh man, it looked like 50 on my TV.
Yeah, it did, didn't it?
And I was watching my TV from a long way away. It's a widescreen, kind of distorts the images there.
So, we talk about, you know, our percentages. You know, I mean, 33 feet. That's 31 feet. That's right below the point of where a guy's right on the same odds to make it as he is the 3-putt. So, and then he makes that putt, and then on the next hole, he makes essentially a 26-footer for birdie.
Down the hill, yeah, screaming in the hole.
Yeah, to get back into it. So, I mean, if you're going to believe in any type of golf gods, I guess you'd believe in that horseshoe sending the ball back his way, because
if you pause the video though, when the ball's at its deepest point in the cup,
it's way down. It's
painful.
It's down. It's where Tiger's was at Southern 2007 when it lipped out one of those deals. And I mean, you look at Schauffele, he pushed the putt a little bit. Anyone who says he didn't, I mean, you could just see it, because you could see the blade was still open when he was coming through.
Yes, he pushed it.
So he pushed it.
Not as bad as Morikawa did in overtime.
No, Morikawa pushing. I think Morikawa too. He was on the, so if Schauffele was putting, if it was a clock, Schauffele would be putting at 6 o'clock. Morikawa was putting at about 9 o'clock, so he was a little bit more down and a little bit more left to right. And I think he just tried to hit it left side firm, and then just tried to, he didn't necessarily jab it, but he hit it firm, and it started at the center of the hole. Then it breaks right. Then all of a sudden, with that kind of pace, it's not going to hold the lip at all.
To me, from the camera angle we had from behind the hole, it looked to me like Morikawa lined his putt up left center and started it right center.
Well, let me ask you this, Colby. You know, we've mentioned Morikawa hasn't missed a cut since he came on tour, but I remember even beforehand, you know, like when he was at Riviera, he was coming down the stretch and he had like a 5-putt or something coming down the stretch, you know, and he ended up finishing really bad there. Now all of a sudden we see this, he misses that short putt on 18, and then he misses the short putt in overtime or in sudden death. So are these going to play any type of mental pain on him going forward? Is he going to be one of these guys that we, you know, is he going to have that tough time getting that breakthrough?
Well, and like here's the question. Is he going to have to start answering questions about it every week? Does it get to the point with Morikawa where every week it's like, hey, man, how's the putting coming along? I know it's kind of been a struggle for you on some of these short ones. Are you trying to do anything different? Stuff like that. You know, if you start missing short ones, people start questioning your grip. They start questioning your pre-putt routine, everything. How many times throughout Phil's career has Phil had to answer questions about four-footers?
And how many four-footers has Phil missed? I mean, he missed how many this week to miss a cut?
How many times has Spieth had to answer questions about missing two-footers?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, Phil, it was two-footers. Phil, it was four-footers. With Spieth, it was two-footers.
I mean, yeah, you make a good point. I mean, it just comes down to, you know, how many, you know, will he be one of those guys to where, you know, he'll use this as motivation? You know, I didn't see if he's officially in the field next week. I'm assuming he is.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, so he may come out and win next week and, you know, dominate that way. Or he may, you know, I believe he'll make the cut. He hasn't missed a cut yet, so I'm not going to pick him to do that. But, you know, it'd be interesting to see how he handles that going forward, because I mean that's tough. I mean, you have a 6-footer to win the tournament, you don't make it, and then you have a 5-footer to extend the tournament and you miss that too. You know, I mean, these are hard pills to swallow, man.
It makes it a little tougher to sleep on Sunday night when you have putts to win a PGA Tour event and you can't get it done. So that's tough for Morikawa. Some other guys on here, like we said, Patrick Reed made a late charge. That was my pick to win this week. I still like his prospects going forward. Kokrak we touched on a little bit. Sungjae Im. What a machine Sungjae Im is. He very quietly, and I mean very quietly, somebody should tell CBS that this guy exists, shot 66, 69, 67, 67 on the weekend, T10 in the golf tournament, beat the stroke average again in the field, the scoring average, 11th straight round, I think he's beat the scoring average, and he's done it by an average margin of 3 shots per round, so he's just been phenomenal. I watched every shot yesterday on Golf Channel and CBS. I don't think I saw a single shot from Sungjae Im, and I don't know why. I like watching Sungjae Im play golf.
I mean, he's a top 20 player in the world, and I mean he tied guys like Spieth and Justin Thomas, who we saw. I think we saw a little bit more Spieth than Thomas, but yeah, we still got to see Thomas. And obviously, those guys are bigger names, but you know, to the general golfing world. But Sungjae Im, I mean, he's even before he had won the Honda and had finished top 5 at Bay Hill or whatever, and you know, just been playing so well.
He's a better player right now than Spieth. Obviously, Spieth's a bigger name, and he's gonna get more TV time. But
well, I mean,
Im's a better player right now.
Oh, I mean, he's just been, and he's, you know, we keep talking about young guns. I mean, M's 20s, young 20s. I mean,
yeah, he's one of the real young guns.
I mean, he's super young. I mean, he's 21st ranked player in the world. I mean, like I said,
he's 22. Just turned 22 at the end of March.
Just turned 20. I mean, that's
born in 1998.
Is that not crazy?
That is wild.
That is insane. So, I mean, he's just on fire. I don't see him going away. And
he's younger than Morikawa. I'm looking at this right now. Morikawa's 23. He's 22. I mean, Sungjae, he's like the same age as Wolf and Hovland.
Yeah.
And he's younger than Morikawa. And because he's just been out here and playing 35 tournaments a year for the last 2 seasons, everybody acts like he's some vet. It's just, I don't know. He's flying way too under the radar for how good of a player he is.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we got it right here. I mean, he finished top 10 this week, finished 3rd at Bay Hill, 1 at the Honda, and then he's just missed the cut at Riviera. But other than that, top 30s, top 10s, top 20s, didn't miss a cut. He's only had, last time he missed a cut before then was the British Open. Just making check every week, that bank account just keeps going higher and higher. And be honest with you, I mean, he's got that tempo in that swing. You know, we mentioned it's slower, but it's the exact same every single time. I mean, it's not breaking down. And, you know, barring some type of, you know, injury or some, you know, something along those lines, I don't think Sungjae's going anywhere for a long time. And I think he needs to be added to this group of young guys. I mean, obviously Morikawa, Wolf, and Hovland get the attention because, you know, they went to university here. But, but when we're talking about young guys and guys coming up, I think Sungjae needs to be I mean, we talked Morikawa's a boss, and I mean, if he should have won this tournament. I mean, he just makes one of those two. I mean, obviously, he could have made the putt in overtime and still lost the next hole to extend
it. Yeah, you never know what happens there.
But I mean, you talk about from a talent level, he has it. It's just, you know, in between the ears, is he going to, you know, will he be able to handle it? M's already, he's broken through for that win at the Honda, which, I mean, obviously, he flubbed that bunker or that fairway shot in the middle of the fairway from 90 yards or whatever, like we talked about. So, you know, even he had a little bit of nerves, but being able to get that win kind of propelled him. So it'd be interesting to see with Morikawa when he's able to kind of break through and get it all done. Is it going to be next week? Is it going to be sometime later in the year? Will it be next year sometime? Will he be one of these guys, like, you know, kind of like Finau, has been out here for, you know, three years now, almost now, or three, maybe even 4, and still doesn't have a win? You know,
I think Finau won the Puerto Rico Open in 16, if I'm remembering
right. Yeah, off-field event. I mean, and, you know, Morikawa has the off-field event, you know, but we're...
Right. And lucky for him, it wasn't the Puerto Rico, because if you win the Puerto Rico, you're then not allowed to win another tour event.
You're cursed, yeah.
I think it's actually in the new... when they made the rule change in 2019, I think they put it in the rule book. You're not allowed to win another tournament.
Yeah, there's some sort of... Puerto Rico's close down to Haiti, and they do a lot of voodoo and stuff down there,
so they just put a hex on it, maybe.
That had to have been exactly what it was. But, yeah, no, so it'll... I don't expect, and these guys, they're going to be around forever. You know, they're going to be, it's the next generation of golf, and there's going to be many more to come after them. And even these older guys, you know, like, and we can even go into that. You know, we talked about in our previous show, is Tiger going to play at RBC, and he's not playing.
He did not, man. What a bummer.
So disappointing.
What a bummer. Why isn't he playing?
I have no idea.
Tee it up, Eldrick.
I don't know what's going on. I mean, obviously, unless it just hurts to walk because his swing was fine, healthy. I mean, his swing looked healthier than ever. I mean, unless he just doesn't want
to
walk.
Unless he just doesn't feel like these are events he needs to play. Unless he feels like, you know, he's going to, as Taylor's mic takes a tumble, unless he feels like he's just going to play a ton of events in the fall. And maybe that's what it is. Maybe he thinks, you know, fall's going to come around. I'm going to be playing the WGCs. We got these majors. Maybe the Ryder Cup's held. Maybe it's not. Maybe he's just not playing now, so he's more fresh when the time comes in the fall. Also, he's not going to have as big of a layoff from the fall schedule to whenever he normally... I don't know. I don't know exactly what the rationale is behind Tiger not playing. Why don't we check in on our friends of the show, how everybody performed this past week. Let's start with the Taylors, shall we? So Taylor Gooch, 4-under, T43. Tied names like Adam Hadwin, Mark Hubbard, Zach Johnson, Adam Schenck, Brian Stewart, all finished at 4-under. Taylor Gooch, no rounds over par at Colonial, 68-70, 69-69 on the weekend.
Continues that cut made streak.
Yes. Yep. Double 69s on the weekend. Double nice for Taylor Gooch. So very nicely done for Taylor, and he is in the field as well this week at the RBC Heritage. And again, all the dude does is make cuts. And if you're looking for a guy at 7,000 in DraftKings who's going to make the cut, look no further. Look no further. The guy's going to make the cut, and when he plays well, he's going to get himself up in or near the top 10. So highly recommend. And then on the Corn Ferry Tour, the weekend was actually not great to Taylor Moore. He still had a good finish on the weekend, or good finish for the week, T33, minus two overall for the tournament. But he was 66-69 on Thursday, Friday, and then maybe a little bit of that rust caught up to him on the weekend where he went 71-72 on the Corn Ferry Tour. So finished T33 in a tournament that Luke List ended up winning. And gosh, I saw this headline this morning on Golf Channel, and it drove me nuts. This headline said, "A win's a win for Luke List, victory sweet, even when playing down a tour." What? Can we stop acting like the Corn Ferry Tour is some tour that doesn't matter, that's just a bunch of hacks out here playing for fun? I mean, this is the right below the PGA Tour, this is elite professional golf on the Corn Ferry Tour. Luke List has not won a professional tournament anywhere in the world in 8 years, and the headline is, "Victory sweet, even when playing down a tour." This headline makes it sound like he's a double-digit major winner who's caught some hard times and made his way down to the Corn Ferry Tour. Dude hadn't won anywhere professionally in 8 years. Of course this victory's sweet. It's probably one of the biggest wins of his career to try to get himself full status back where he's in all these fields on the PGA Tour instead of having to play in the Corn Ferry.
No, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, I don't understand why, you know, it... Like I said, like you just iterated right there. I mean, this is elite. These are elite golfers out there, and these guys are getting after it, boy. And like I said, we looked it up earlier. The highest ranked in the world Luke List has been was 47. And I mean, obviously, that's nothing to poop on or anything by any stretch of the imagination. But at the same time, like you said, I saw the same headline, and it made it out to be, you know, it was similar to like when Vijay was getting all the harp of playing this tournament. You know, it's like saying that like Vijay won. You know, it's like it's, you know, Luke List is not a major champion. He's not. He hasn't won on the tour. He never won.
Well,
PGA
that's another
tour
thing. It says victory sweet even when playing down a tour. He never won on the PGA Tour.
No, he's finished second. We looked it up twice, I believe.
He's finished second at the Honda. So why would this victory not be sweet? The headline, it really bothered me. I saw it this morning. I don't know why. It got under my skin.
Well, and that's, we talk about it all the time, how golf news can be, you know, there can be a lot of misconceptions, a lot of misinformation spread. Luke List should be ecstatic with this win. He beat a lot of great players at a really great course.
Let's put it this way. I thought it was an insult to the Corn Ferry Tour. I thought that headline was an insult to the Corn Ferry Tour.
I couldn't agree more. It is, and you know, if people want to realize and think that the Corn Ferry Tour is a joke, I mean, it's the furthest thing from that. I mean, you'll see, like I said, how many of these guys we saw last year? They go out there and, you know, play, and then I mean, so many players out there. These are the steps that they take to get to the tour, you know. And so for people to look at it and say that, you know, this is like it's like the minor leagues, or you know it's like single A. You know, I mean, this is, you know, you play baseball, Colby. I mean, this is AAA. AAA baseball is really good baseball, you know, for the most part, you know. I mean, or at least it was back in the day, you know, whenever, before baseball's kind of stopped, you know, growing as much as it has, you know. But, I mean, that's still elite competition, you know. And so for people to act like that this was not a monumental win by any stretch of the imagination, if it would have been someone like Spieth or someone like that, or someone who had like VJ, like we had talked about before, you know, who was a major champion and was trying to get his game back or something like that, it would be different. But Luke List, he was like I said, 47th in the world, was as high as he's ever been. Very solid player, hits it a mile. But to downplay this win by any stretch of the imagination is, I completely agree with you, Colby, an insult.
Yeah, absolutely. I was not a fan of it at all. But a lot of good stuff this weekend. A lot of good stuff to take away. I think you mentioned Tom Lehman. Oh, devastating Friday for Tom Lehman. 65-74 for old man Lehman. Missed the cut by a shot. And if scoring hadn't been so good, I mean, the field gets in there 2-under, and he finishes 1-under, so that was unfortunate for old man Lehman. Phil missed the cut with a 71 on Friday, so that was a bummer for Phil. Is he in the field this week? Do you know?
I'm not sure. I'll have to double-check. You mentioned our friends of the show, Caddy Scott Tway, Brian Harmon.
Yeah, Brian Harmon.
Finished T23 minus 8, so got off to a good start with minus 5. Had a 69, 70, 68 after that. So finished
Saturday round, couldn't really get it going.
Yeah, kind of stalled out a little bit. But at the same time, you know, T23 is a good start, getting a lot of FedEx points there. And I believe they're in the field this next week as well. Heritage should set up well for Harmon's game, so hopefully they can keep it rolling too. And like I said, I know with Taylor and Brian Harmon, Scott Tway in the field this upcoming week, hopefully see one of them posting. This week's the plaid jacket. I know they do some sort of jacket at the Heritage. What do they call it? Is it the...
It's... Isn't it like red and green plaid checkered? I'm trying to remember what, CT Pan, Satoshi Kodaira, these guys have won it recently. Matt Kuchar won a few years back. Luke Donald's actually never worn the jacket. He's finished runner up here about 5 or 6 times.
I mean, it's just another plaid jacket, just like the Colonial. Yeah, I mean, it looks very similar to it.
Turn it here. Let me see if we can.
It's
buffering.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just red and just kind of, I mean, it looks very similar to red, but you're right, Colby, with a little bit of green into it. Hopefully we'll see one of our friends putting that on their shoulders on next Sunday.
What I'm curious about is course history, I think, is a big indicator when you're trying to handicap a tournament. But you come into this way, you got guys like Kuchar and Luke Donald who've played this course really well over the years, and they've had high finishes, but they've had high finishes at the RBC Heritage in much weaker fields. Much weaker. So do you still run these guys out because they've played well here? I mean, playing well is playing well, regardless of field strength, or do you think, okay, maybe field strength had a little bit to do with it, and whenever you throw in, 15 of the top 20 players in the world, it's going to make it a lot harder for Luke Donald and Matt Kuchar to find their way into the top 10.
Yeah, I think, we saw it, you saw both sides of it this week at the Schwab. You look at the top of the leaderboard, DeChambeau, Morikawa, Schauffele, Reed, M., JT all finished in the top 10, when you're talking about highly ranked players. Gary Woodland finished up there as well. But then we mentioned all the names that missed the cut, who we thought would play well. Rom, number 2 in the world, who had not missed, who had not finished outside of the top 17, had finished outside of the top 17 once in a full calendar year, ended up missing the cut. And then, like I said, DJ Sergio missed the cut. Phil missed the cut, a lot of these big names. So it's like, these stacked fields, you get their players, and you're going to have, when you have so many good players like that in these stacked fields, you're going to have some of them who are going to go out there and play good, and you're going to have some of them that are going to disappoint, And so I think you got to try to find a happy mixture of both of them. Like, for example, Kuchar missed the cut by 1 this week, so he's right on the line. Probably didn't play the best that he wanted to, but it might be beneficial, give him a couple more days to kind of practice, figure out something. Because normally, if you miss the cut by 1, a lot of times, you're just right there, Because, we see it a lot of times, guys will make the cut on the number or by 1, then they'll have a really great Saturday, or whatever, and then good Sunday, and then finish in the top 10, So a lot of times when the guy just barely misses a cut, they might not be too far off, or maybe just, like I said, they make
it. Like Kokrak barely made the cut, didn't he?
Yeah, and then, like I said, 65-64, shot 9-under on the weekend, so he would have been...
That would be 11-under on the weekend.
11-under on the weekend, yeah.
Yeah, he was 67-70. Yeah, made the cut. Didn't make it on the number, but it made it 1 better than the number, and finished T3 1 shot out of the playoff.
Yeah.
Lipped out on 18.
Yeah, so all of a sudden, when you have a cut like that, you get a different story. You have someone like Kokrad who finishes 3rd, and he was only, 2, would that have been 2 or 3 shots better than Kuchar after 2 rounds, and all of a sudden he gets to go finish up in the top 3, and Kuchar gets 2 days off, and a missed cut looks so horrible, but in reality the first 2 rounds are really wasn't that much of a difference. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, on that front. You know, someone like Luke Donald, you know, I brought him up back when play was earlier at the Honda, you know, where he had played well there in the past, was had a really good cheap value. And I think that, you know, whenever you're doing handicap, it kind of depends what you're going for. You know, if you're going for a DraftKings type lineup, you know, then you're just looking for value. You know, you're looking for, you know, what, you know, like for someone like Luke Donald, you know, if he's 6,200, you know, might as well throw him in there. You know, if you're looking for someone down there, I mean, if they put him at 7,500 above someone like Taylor Gooch, I'd stay away, you know, and obviously take Taylor because he has a lot better chance to play well there, in my opinion, just as an overall example. If you're looking at someone to lay like what you predominantly do to Colby, you know, 25-1 odds or how many ever, you know, to win the tournament, I wouldn't look at some of those guys. I would look at towards more of the big guys. In all honesty, I'm not, if I was going to bet next week, I'm not betting on anyone besides DeChambeau.
You think?
You're high
on him going in?
Huh?
I mean, I'm pretty high on him going in. I like Bryson a lot this
I'm extremely
week.
High going into him. I
mean, his confidence right now is through the roof.
I would. We'll break it down more on our preview show coming up later in the week. But he will be definitely my favorite to win the tournament. I'll probably build my DraftKings lineups around him, and then he's.
I'm doing the same thing, which is pretty boring. That we're both on the same guy, but I mean, I feel, and it's also kind of boring because I feel like a lot of people are going to be on Bryson this week. Yeah. And what I don't want to do, I don't want to write off a guy like Rahm, because Rahm's so consistently great that when he has one bad week, like what he had Thursday and Friday at Colonial, it seems like he's the type of guy who would just bounce back and go out and fire a 64 on Thursday, and then he's in the hunt all week and has a chance to win. So that's another guy. If you're looking for a guy who played poorly last week and is going to play well this coming week, I would look at probably John Rahm, because he's too consistent and too good a player, I think, to have two bad weeks in a row.
Yeah, I would agree there. And, you know, someone who has played well there, I'm trying to find and see if he's in the field. It doesn't look like he's even playing, unfortunately not. I was going to say Patrick Cantlay is a really good name to play, but I don't even see his name in the field because he's finished top five here, so he must be taking the week off. But so for the field we see here, you know, you got your Rory, Justin Thomas, DeChambeau, Rahm, Schauffele, Morikawa, M, who we had just mentioned. Hideki's playing.
Very nice.
Rose, Webb, Berger, Reed, Spieth, Koepka, who we didn't even mention, who kind of did what he does when it's not a major, finished, what, 39th or 40th or something like that, collecting a nice check.
Oh, tied with Rory. Finished whatever Rory finished at. 6 under.
So, just kind of.
6 under was T32 for Koepka, which is about par for the course for non-majors.
Yeah, exactly. And so then you're going down, you got DJ, Woodland, Kuchar. Kuchar's at 8,300. Phenom, 8,200. Finished 20-something. Not too bad. Fowler, 8,100. Missed the cut last week.
Where's Taylor Gooch?
Taylor Gooch
Give me Taylor Gooch. Give me some value.
Right there, 7,000. You already mentioned
7,000 again.
Yeah.
Cut-making machine,
I'm telling you. They're not showing him any respect, man. It's a damn shame.
I got to find some of those better low guys this week. Because
you and me both.
I don't even know if this is going to be possible, but I would love, love, love. I've got to see the salaries. This probably is not possible. If I could run out a lineup with DeChambeau, Morikawa, and M at the top, and then just run out like Taylor Gooch and a couple guys at 6,500, I would totally do it.
Here, I'm going to throw that together. Say the names one more time.
So let's see if we can do Bryson DeChambeau.
DeChambeau.
Colin Morikawa.
Sungjae Im.
And then Taylor Gooch at 7,000. And then we're just going to have to go mega cheap on the last two guys. And I still don't even know if we can, because I don't know what the salaries are for those first three I listed.
You would average 6,300 for the last two picks. So you could go, you could pick a guy at 6,000 and then pick a guy at 66.
I'm in. 66, I might do that.
Yeah. If you can find one of these 6,000 guys who make the cut.
You might have to get lucky at 6,000 to make the cut.
Boy, yeah, you're looking
at... I mean, these are guys that don't make cuts usually at 6,000.
You're looking at, Jim Herman. Big Ernie Els down at 6,000. Ryan Armour. Bill Haas down at Davis Love III.
DL3. Horses for courses.
Local guy, Bo Van Pelt, 6,000.
Horses for courses.
And then who was, I mean, here's some of the other value. Like I said, we'll break this down later in our show. You know, Charles Schwartzel, 66. One of your other wife's close on friends, Eric Van Rooyen, a 6,600.
Oh, yes, Eric Van Rooyen.
Yeah, 66. He did you so well when you picked him last time, didn't he? Didn't he miss the cut when you picked him last time?
Yes. Yes, of course he did.
Yeah, so it is what
I'm
it
sure
is.
I'm sure if I pick him this week, he'll miss the cut. Yeah. I'm sure if I don't, it'll be, what was the tournament he contended at earlier this year? Riviera or?
Mexico, wasn't it?
It was Mexico, yeah. Mexico. He was in the hunt the whole way at Mexico. Yeah.
And then we got old steel shaft Jimmy Walker out there at 6,500. You could throw him out there.
Hard no.
And so I was reading about that, and said, so what he did was he pulled out an old Titleist 973 with the same three-wood that Tiger used back when he was winning everything, and just talked about how good the X100 shaft felt, and he just wanted to give it a try. Well, he shot six over and missed a cut, so I don't know if he'll be trying graphite this week or not.
I might go to graphite.
Yeah, he might give it a try. You know, when you're doing that, you're searching. So if you do want to do a lineup like Colby just said, I mean, you definitely have some options there. If you can find you two guys in that cheap range, you might be able to. For our future show for the rest of the week, we will have you some cheaper names down there who, like I said, last week it was a little harder to handicap just because we didn't have so much play, and then we even had big names like Rom and DJ and Phil go out there and miss the cut really bad. So we've got at least 1 week under our belt. Great course, RBC Heritage, one of the best courses. They get to play Harbortown each year.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch, because I didn't get to watch a ton this past week. I watched Thursday morning, and then I watched all day Sunday. But I watched no golf Friday and Saturday because my wife and I were celebrating our 5-year anniversary. It was a blast. Went to the lake, went to Turner Falls, had a great time. Didn't get to watch any golf Friday and Saturday. So I'll be doing much more golf watching this week.
And it's going to be entertaining stuff. And yeah, look, you just keep going down. Yeah, it's just another stacked field. A lot of really good players, and we'll kind of give you a little taste for our preview. Looks like I'm already seeing some names here with some kind of cheaper value, especially in that mid tier range. That some guys that I think that will do well, but we'll save that for next week or for our next show.
Yeah, absolutely. Cannot wait to get back in here early Wednesday morning. Our preview for the RBC Heritage will be released, so I will find you two names to pair with those other four that I just mentioned for DraftKings. I'll let you know the two I'm choosing that are going to have to average 6,300 so that I can run out DeChambeau, Morikawa, M, and Taylor Gooch. And then we'll see what kind of lineup I can put together. I'll also let you know who I'm going to be betting this week. Taylor will give you all the value throughout the DraftKings lineups. We will pick winners. I'm thinking we need to do something from now through like maybe the Masters, just me and you here on the podcast, mano y mano, where every week we pick one guy, kind of like one and done scenario, but instead of like full season, because it's all been so weird, start it now, run it through the Masters, one golfer a week, two for the majors, however you want to do it. We can figure it out between now and Wednesday, and keep score and try to have a running podcast. Basically, our podcast picks.
So essentially, do like what our one and done pool is, except we'll restart it. Essentially, is what you're saying.
Yeah, pretty much. That way, for the sake of the podcast, we can still use all the big guns and use everybody between now and the Masters.
Okay, I like that. Yeah, we'll save that for last week. Your one and done pool last week was Ryan Palmer, correct?
Yes.
So you probably wouldn't use Palmer in this scenario, you know, going forward if you had all these other players to choose from.
Right.
You know,
right.
So yes. And like me, I picked Spieth because I didn't trust Spieth, but yet I thought he had already played well. Maybe the break had did him well, finished top 10.
Right.
I was already DFL in the one and done anyway. So it couldn't have hurt. So, but yeah, no, on Wednesday's show, we'll have a lot of good value plays for you there. And, you know, like I said, I'm not betting on anyone besides DeChambeau, but maybe Colby will find some other guys out there that you may want to throw some coin on, especially if they have some good odds.
Yeah, absolutely. Been a lot of fun. Also a lot of fun. I heard y'all had a good game down at Bushwood on Friday with a lot of people.
We did. There's a lot of people. I think there's around 14 of us even.
Whoa.
Yeah, we had to split up into a lot of different groups, played about three balls a group. It was a lot of fun.
So three-man best ball?
So you just play with your buddies, get done with the 9 or 18 and hand in your cards, and you take the three best scores from each one. You know, first ball plays the other team's first ball,
right?
A second ball press on nine. So it's a lot of fun and a great game, great guys too. That's really
good.
Actually, we end up making, I believe, like a whopping $5, you know, just because each ball offsets each other in the
right.
presses too, you know, and
right.
So
sometimes it can be something where your team wins or loses a bunch, but if you kind of split which balls win, then you end up splitting all the money.
It's one of those deals where like the first ball, you know, can be winning three up, but all of a sudden guy birdies the press hole, and then that just eliminates that whole ball, so it neutralizes.
Right.
Then, you know, the same
evens
thing.
Evens the money out a lot more.
Exactly, yeah. But then, you know, you can be on the side of it where your team wins all three balls and then wins one or two presses, and then all of a sudden you rake in all the money, you know. But that game didn't experience that, which was good, and we ended up having some pretty fair teams. And it's a lot of fun, and just get down there, and you know, anyone who hadn't played down there, everyone down there is very friendly and local. Join up and play with some of these great guys, and make some, not only will you have a great time golfing, but you make some friends while you're at it.
Yeah, absolutely. Get down to Bushwood Golf and Country Club in Chickasha and reserve your spot for the Ouachita Valley, the oldest golf tournament in the state of Oklahoma. That's all for today. We are back Wednesday morning. When you wake up Wednesday morning, you will have our RBC Heritage preview, so make sure you fire that up. We'll be giving you all of the best picks for this week's tournament. Glad to have golf back. Glad to be back here on the 73rd hole. Everyone have a great couple days. We're back Wednesday. Thanks for listening to the 73rd hole.